Well, first of all, I'd like to.
I'm just going to mute here because there's an echo sound. Is it getting better? Oh, just going to turn off my volume. Is it getting better? Good, no echo sound. Especially those of you in the Zoom, sorry for the interruptions. And first of all, I'd like to apologize that there was some misunderstanding that I thought I'll be speaking the family Bible hours instead of the ministry hour. Sorry about that, but yeah, God is good. I managed to preach during this session. Thank you everyone for your, understanding and considerations. I'd like to start with a prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, and today we're going to spend some time in considering the words of God, especially in the book of 1 Timothy. They are very practical guide for all of us as believers who trust you, as individual or as for the assembly as well. We just pray that you'll bless our time here when we study your word and give us the understanding. In the name of Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you. And thank you for the song leading and Isamu, especially the song that In His Time. I remember that song, I've been singing in Japanese version for about a few months before I left Japan. Because at the time we were thinking that where should we go next? With no understanding whether we're going to stay in Japan or we're going to go to other places. Back in Malaysia, we're asking for his guidance. So it's a song that close to my heart because we have been singing every night almost for the past few months before we leave Japan. Thank you. I'd like to think about this book. The reason why I choose to read this book, a few reasons. One is when I read this book, I just find that it is so practical. The Word of God is very practical. It's actually guide us. And this book also very relevant to the situations that we are facing right now. I think about what happened to our local assembly, especially and also in the world. And when I read this, like, wow, it is so relevant. In fact, though this book was written so many years ago, it's still relevant today. So we're going to maybe spend some time, probably not words by word studies, but give you some summary and idea about this book in the book of 1 Timothy. And I know most of you know that this is a letter from Paul to Timothy, right? Written by Apostle Paul. And he called Timothy as a true son in faith. So we're going to read this book and talk about what is the purpose and more about this book. We're just going to look at the background first. Now, if you have a Bible, first I'd like you to turn to the 1 Timothy. Let's turn to that because we're going to refer to some of the verses here in the book of 1 Timothy. So it'd be good if you turn your Bible to this page and chapter 1, that'll be great. Well, if you look at verse 3, as I urge you, when I went into Macedonia, and he asked Timothy to remain in Ephesus, that he may charge some that they teach no other doctrine. So we know that, the background of this is like, this is probably the third missionary of Apostle Paul. He asks, Timothy is very close to Paul. He's like his own son. He said, you stay in Ephesus, that I'm going to go to different places. And he has something for responsibility for Timothy to carry on. And that is that teach no other doctrines. And in fact, we realize that in the 2 Timothy, this false teaching become major. It was minor in the 1 Timothy. The 2 Timothy, you see that it become more prevalent and more common, those false teaching. And that's why he asked, give this responsibility to Timothy. In fact, I was thinking about all of us that is part of the assembly. If you trust Jesus Christ as your personal savior, you always have responsibility. You know, to this assembly is not only a few people. It's all of us. Without you, it's no longer assembly. It not belongs to the elders. We all have a responsibility to help this assembly, you know, because the head is our Lord Jesus Christ, and we are part of it. We all have it. And Timothy, aware that he has to take his responsibility. And for geography reason, you can see that, you know, it's quite a distance. In consider those days, there's no plane, because this is where on your Turkey part is the Ephesus, you know, in current today's country would be Turkey, and Macedonia is the north of the Greece. Athens is at the south, right, upper part there. So you can see that it's different. Now, what is the purpose of the epistles? In 1 Timothy chapter 3, 14, and Paul say that, these things I write to you, though I hope to come to you shortly. But it says that in 3:14, if I am delayed, I write so that you may know how you ought to conduct yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. So this book, it provides very practical guideline for all of us here. How should we conduct ourselves as individual, as well as with regards to other peoples in the world, you know, brothers, sisters, widow, and brethren, with elders, with deacons. Very practical, these folks. So we're going to look at. But before that, he also mentions some of the warnings. So I'm just going to give you summarize. And I would urge you to read the whole book if you can, you know, after this. Maybe it's a long time ago you read this book. So the first thing in, these are the few warnings that I can summarize. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3, and it sums up, teach no other doctrine. What are those other doctrines? Then you can see that I can summarize those other doctrines that has been mentioned. In verse 4, it says that, nor give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which cause disputes rather than godly edifications, which is in faith. I remember, well, many years ago, I got a book from Eric that he has a meaning of, you know, what's the meaning of the fables? You know, we probably don't use this word quite common, but the original word say, matos, I'm not sure how, but it just means myths. Matos, it means it's the thoughts of man, a rumor, legend. In those days, it makes a lot of legend, you know, and these are all man-make religion or man-make something mixed. What is lie? Lie usually mix something truth and lie together. And we learned that from the Adam and Eve story, when Satan trying to disguise himself and then talk to Eve and say, you know, he says something right, something wrong about the fruit, right? And that's what happened in today. So we need to be careful on those myths, and some are what endless genealogies, and he mentioned. So these are excessive, some genealogies are important. We know in the book of Luke, the book of Matthew, we have genealogies about Lord Jesus Christ. But there's some genealogies that are excessive, is just create confusions. We don't have to go into that. And that's what Paul said. And then in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, if you have the Bible, and you say that, from which some, having strayed, have turned aside
to idle talk, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor the things which they affirm. Well, there are a lot of people at that time who like to be, you know, showing that I have a lot of knowledge. You know, with that position, they will come and say something that mix the law and grace. And in the coming words from 8 to 11, it talks about the law. And Paul say here, remember in the book of Galatians, Paul spent a lot of words about, you know, you are saved not by the law. And he makes that, and he says that the law is to convict your heart that we are sinner. We need a savior. It's not something ultimately will help you or to save yourself from your sin. And don't get mixed up. And that again and again, we see that happen in today's world. In fact, I shared that when I was saved at the first year, I sometimes still mix up myself, like, you know, is it truly I'm saved by grace? Do I need to do something in order to gain the salvation? Why? Because my earlier educations, my influence from my family was so strong. It's still part of that. Like we were told, especially those from Chinese background, you were told that, you know, if you do something good, you get good returns. In Chinese, we say san yu, san bao. But I always believe in that. I was trained that since I was very young. For me, to think about I can save by grace, it was tough at the beginning, the first year. But the Bible says very clearly, you don't mix up the law and the grace. You cannot be saved by your work. In fact, the good work is out of the Lord Jesus Christ in your heart. It's not because of you. There's nothing good in me. And I took me about a year to came to realizations, those mix, and I can understand. You know, in those days they have death. In today's world, today's church, there's some, well, you know, some churches mix the law and grace. It's still the same. As I say, this book is still even relevant today, though it's written so many years ago. And if you read 1 Timothy chapter 4, can I turn to chapter 4, verse 1, we have something, the warnings about deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. You read chapter 4, verse 1. Now the Spirit expressly say that in the later time, some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of their demons. And what's that? Well, they're going to speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. Wow. And when I read about this, I say, you know, this was written many years ago, but I know the history, what happened after that. But we see that, you know, some taught that you're not supposed to get married. So many religions say that, right? Yeah, they are. Like if you think about Buddhists, there are some say that you're not supposed to get married, and none not supposed to get married, and think certain food you're not supposed to eat. And I know that friends that wouldn't eat anything with only vegetarian, and some like, for their reason, they believe that God say no, that's not true. So do not be deceived. And then in 1 Timothy 4:7, we're going to point to that. It says that warnings, reject profane and old wise fables. Exercise yourself toward godliness. And it's similar things you can see in chapter 6, verse 20 about the ending. It says, O Timothy, guard what was committed to your trust, avoiding, again, the profane and the idle babblings and contradictions of what is falsely called knowledge. So again, all these are the warnings for us in the church, in the local assembly here in 16.
I'm not sure how long you've been here, but you have heard some. Sometimes I hear people say other doctrines that out of the Bible. I have to be careful of that. Again, we are part of the assembly. We need to be careful what other people say. If it's not true, we should tell them. This is our reference, our guidance. And that's the warnings that Apostle Paul gave to Timothy. Now, what is, and he mentions about the purpose of the commandment, and I think about that. That is probably the most important thing that for us to learn. What is the purpose of the commandment? It's written in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. He says, now the purpose of the commandment is love. And this love, as we know, is agape love. It's a sacrificial love. The love that's been mentioned in John 3:16. God loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And from what? What kind of love that we should have? Pure heart. That means our heart, inner life is clean. And from a good conscience. And what does it mean that? You don't have any offense toward God and man. If there's something that, as I say, the Bible teaches within the brothers, you need to settle that. And I always remember the words in the Romans that you have anger, don't carry on before the sunset. You know, you should settle that. Don't always remember all the anger, especially, you know, as Africa, especially between husband and wife. You know, you carry on and carry on. It's going to be a cold war at the end. You know, just remember that God forgive us. We should be more forgiving to each other. I know it's not easy. I know I went through that, always went through that. But what the Bible teach is that it's very high standard. As I say, the book is very practical. And from sincere faith, what does it mean? It just means that faith that does not wear a mask. You probably know, when I was young, I probably do not know people wearing a mask. When I get older and older and older, I find that, wow, people can wear masks in their workplace. Even sadly, even in the assembly as well. We should be sincere in what we say and what we do. It's not like wearing a mask. And I say that this is the words that I like from Billy McDonald. Now, regarding the commandment, it is not the fear of the punishment. There is law, there's commandments given to us that makes a Christian live a godly manner. But rather, a love for the Savior who died at Calvary. Because if, in summary, it's no longer that I live, but Christ live in my heart. That will commit me to live a godly manner, to be kind, to have love. It's difficult for myself to forgive. To love others. I remember that when my father passed away due to accident, my uncle came to the funeral. They decided not to see my father's face because the Chinese believe that it's not, because my father died in accident, it's not bringing them good luck if we see my father's face. I was mad. I was sad. I say, I'm not going to forgive this uncle, right? I have the right to say that, but then the Bible say, no, that's not. So it's the Bible that changed me and helped me to learn to be more forgiving to others. Because God forgive me, I'm a sinner, and he forgives me, I should be more forgiving to the people around me. And I believe that we can leave everything to him. He's a right judge. He's fair. He's loving. And as I say, they are very practical. We talk about example of good servant of Jesus Christ. I remember Harold Samuels asked me this question in one of the Bible studies. What is your objective as a Christian? And the answer is to become more like Jesus Christ. He's our perfect example of a good servant. Now, before you see the Lord Jesus Christ, who do you see? You see his servant. And I was very fortunate to meet the servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is my uncle. While he lived in Singapore, I basically, he changed me in terms of, I don't even think about I want to have a married life because of the, you know, quarrels between my father and mother, always about financial problem. I have to go to Singapore to work because I know that I need the money to go to school fees. I don't even have money to pay for the examination fee. Well, it's not a lot of money, it's $30 Canadian dollar. We don't have that. So I need to plan about what I should eat to save the money. So I work in Singapore, well, after the O-level, so that's about 17 years old. And then my uncle was kind enough. He allowed me to stay in his home. They are believers. And then something that caught my attention in that house, in his place, there was the entrance, it says that Jesus Christ is the Lord of this family, this house. Wow. And I see, the more I see that example, then I know that, you know, it's so wonderful to see a family of Lord Jesus Christ. I probably never seen them quarrel when I was staying in their house. But how could that be possible in that example? It's the same thing Apostle Paul asks us to be an example of good servant. And how? It's practical. It says in 1 Timothy, let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 4 and read that. You'll start probably reading from verse 12. Let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Well, Timothy was relatively young as his age, probably, you know, 30s, and compared with other people's. Well, in that age, Apostle Paul charged him to kind of guard the assembly Ephesians. It was not easy. And, you know, a lot of society just think that, oh, young people, you know, will not be able to do much. Remember when I was graduated from university, in my first job, I need to lead a team to do some changing. We're going to change the operating system. So tough. Working with people with years of experience, you're going to change the whole systems? You know, the fear, all those things, not easy. I can definitely understand what Timothy had to go through. But Paul told him, you need to be a good example to believe in what area, and it listed down by word, by the way we speak. How do you know someone? Well, you don't. You look at a person, well, looks nice, looks friendly, but you actually get to know a person when you talk to them. And sometimes it's just public, but this means the word is not just public, but in private as well. So if you really want to know someone, ask his family or her family. They'll tell you, ask my wife about me. Right? You will know truly, you know, how, what kind of person I am. Not just public, but privately as well. What works? You know, sometimes do I wear a mask? I try to look good here when I in the chapel on Sunday, but other days I could be, you know, and I'm a different kind of person. That's what we're talking about, the word conduct. Again, how do we look at someone? We by the way they behave. There's certain things they do that we know. That will be, as I say, this will probably be the best testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ. Instead of using words to win your heart, you know, it's not a debating. And sometimes I see some people, I don't mean it's wrong, but But I think to me, stronger evidence or stronger testimony for Christ is by the word and conduct and their love, all this. And the third one is love. This is again the agape love. It's seeking welfare of others, not about yourself. I know it's not easy for a lot of us, including myself. Sometimes you're thinking about, after you become believer, you examine this change in your decision that you make. Sometimes there's something that I really want it, but I know other people want it more than me. And I talk, especially my girls, there are fight between my girls. And I talk about that, you need to think about, seeking the welfare of others, willing to give. All right. So, I sometimes, told myself that it's okay. The Lord will look after that. Trust in Him. Learn like Jesus Christ. Seek the welfare of others. And spirit. Now, interestingly, not all the Bible version had this word spirit. In fact, many of the versions you wouldn't find this spirit. And what does it mean? It means some commentary says that it means enthusiasm with eagerness. That what it means, right? I always think about a lot of people eagerness, and I kind of like think about myself, like when I first saved, I have a lot of enthusiasm to share the gospel. And sometimes I say, why have you changed your less right now compared with your first save? Faith. And people look at your faith. Not just by your words, by your actions, we know your faith. It means what? Dependability on God. And the Bible, interesting, says that we should have faith like children. I remember the other days that sometimes we look for parking. I say, in the car, my wife and I having a conversation. I say, I'm not sure whether we can find a parking, especially in Costco. How hard to find a parking. Do you know what my daughter at the back said? We pray. Like children, as I say. I just have to learn a lot. Like that's why I say when I read the Bible, faith like children is exactly true. So just pray. Like, what should we do? You don't worry, just pray. And all our life, all the trials, I know it's not easy. When we have health issue, unemployment, we have family issues, and all these things you can pray, bring into prayer all the time, depends on Him. He knows what's best. Especially look back all the answer prayer, your faith should grow. I remember the song in his time, just bring back my memory at the time that, and we asked the Lord, where should I go after death? Should I stay in Japan? Should I go back to Malaysia? But the answer is, the answer is out of my choices. I never thought about other than that. I was thinking at the time, it's either Malaysia or Japan, only two choices. But God gave me a choice that, never beyond what I'm thinking. And I just suddenly got an offer to come to UBC. Yeah. That's why I'm here. This is like after how many years? 16 years? Time flies that I've been in Vancouver, right? So it all depends on Him. Like, all the time, every time, and He is faithful. And because, and as I say, you look back, you will say that, wow, God knows all. He knows all. Really, and you say, thank you. I would have choose this. Just trust in Him all the while. And sometimes I say, the suffering, things that not according to your plan, it doesn't mean it's not yet. When you look back and say, thank you for that time. I thank for the unemployment time as well. It's that time I learned the most. Actually, I have more time. I depend very much on Him. And we always talk about it's so difficult for a new immigrant to get a job. They always ask, do you have Canadian experience? You know, and we always say, how would I have a Canadian experience if you don't give me one? Right? And I can understand the language issues, all these difficulties. I was thankful that I went through that so that I can understand, you know, a lot of people who came here, what they have gone through. And you need to depend on the Lord Jesus Christ and all that. And purity is avoiding sin. I like a story in one of the children's stories. How can we avoid sin? It's not by yourself. You can't do that. The story is this, that the Satan would like to knock the door of this little girl's heart. They say, I want to come in. You know, and then the Sunday school teacher asked this girl, "What? How would you respond? There's a temptations here." And then the little girl say, "You know, I'm going to ask Jesus Christ to go to the door, not me." But Jesus Christ there is going to defeat the Satan. And that's how we can avoid the sin, not by our power. Think about the Lord Jesus Christ, ask him to help. Don't rely on yourself. We are not that strong. You know, we should flee. But ask the Lord Jesus Christ to fight on behalf of us. And he conquered that. So you can trust in him. We don't have much time, but as I say, you can read the rest about, you know, how should a believer's conduct with regards to all men. And this is something I want to say, desire all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. And I hear many things about, you know, recently, especially saying that, you know, is God really want all men to be saved? Yes. The answer is so clear. It's written in the Bible. And we should pray for all kings and all authorities, especially in situations like this, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life. Isn't it that what we need? All right. And as I say, this book is so relevant, and we talk about all the, you know, all these deacons always hear brothers and sisters as fathers, as brothers, those older than you as fathers or mother or as brothers, sisters. And then true readers, elders, bondservant, wealth and rich. You have time, you can read that. These are very practical guidelines for our walk, you know, in this world and in our local assembly. We'll just close with a prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the Bible, for your words of God that is so practical and help us to live in the challenging time like this. We pray for those who are sick. We ask for your grace and that you give them the very help in this time. We pray also for what happened in the world right now, the war. We pray especially for souls to be saved, that they will know that there will be hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. Continue to ask for your guidance. Help us to be a good example for the Lord Jesus Christ as the salt and the light. So people don't see us, but ultimately they will be seeing the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the answer to all the problems. We ask for your help in the name of Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you for your time.